And back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Shelley Budenhagen. You're on a couple of nice wins here to up their record to 6-2 on the season. A five-set marathon against Aberdeen on Tuesday, and then taking quick work with Brookings on Thursday. And I know you had some concerns on Thursday with Brookings. I guess we'll get to that here shortly. The Tuesday match with Aberdeen, even going back to last Saturday with Mitchell, a couple of road matches, former District 3AA teams. And both matches, I think, kind of went the way you thought they would, and good for the Huron Tigers, came out on top in both.
Yeah, we've had quite a week. What a great week, actually. Mitchell starting in Mitchell, and Mitchell's good. You know, they've transferred two kids in, and they're both their outside hitters, and they're pin dominant, and they've got, you know, that 6'3" Caspin Alm on the outside, and they get just enough done. They're so scrappy in the back row, and so we thought we could see that we were starting to grow a little bit with our offense. You know, earlier in the season, we weren't happy with the timing of our offense. We weren't happy with our passing. We still have a long ways to go in our passing, and I would have said that last year at the state tournament. We still have a long ways to go with our passing. So, no, I don't think coaches are ever happy with that percentage there. But you could just see in Mitchell that things were starting to really come together, and you could feel it. And then we knew that we were going to be going up to Aberdeen into a buzzsaw. You know, again, very pin dominant with their outside hitters. They've got two very good, very, very good hitters in Kusler and Keel on the outside. Keel's a lefty and playing in the right, and then you've got Kusler that does so many things well on the left. And so we just said we got to play defense and try to get a block up and just slow the ball down for us, or at least funnel it to a different area. And then our back row, we need to make a big, huge dig here and there. And we thought if we could dig early, that we might be able to break their momentum a little bit. And I think we did that in the first set, maybe took them by surprise and how hard we were serving with the velocity that we had and just able to hold defensively. And then, I mean, very honest, sometimes after a very big win like that, and that was a huge win for us, and not only because it's Aberdeen, but because we could feel the growth coming in. And it just was fun to compete at such a high level there. It's homecoming, and we had stuff on Wednesday, we're pooped out from the match. Every level played their maximum of sets, and so our kids were tired. And then with all the homecoming activities, it just takes an emotional toll on everybody. You know that I'm not a big fan of the homecoming stuff, but you know, it's part of the kids' experience, and so they have to have that stuff. But, you know, like, as a coach, you feel like they're getting distracted all the time. However, when we come into Thursday, I was concerned with their pin hitters and the power and the youth that Brookings showed. And, you know, earlier in the season we played them, I thought they competed really well. And so I was hoping that our defense could hold, because Brookings, we knew they were going to do some fast things and some slow things, some high sets, stuff that we haven't seen for a while. So I thought our defense held in that first set, and maybe we took a little mental break, or maybe Brookings put us in that position. But we came back and won the second set. And that, you know, again, that's pretty salty when kids can come from behind and gain momentum when you don't even have the momentum and just start rocking and rolling. So I thought it capped off a real good volleyball week for us.
And, you know, with the Aberdeen's match on Tuesday going five sets, that was your first five-setter. And realistically, the fifth set goes to 15, says 25, so it's the volleyball version of overtime. You just never know how girls are going to come off that until you play one of those. And, you know, there's not a ton of them, I guess, but they always have the potential for that. And obviously the girls responded well coming into the Thursday night match, because we dominated the first and third set. In the second set, Brookings had their chances, but it was mainly, more so, I felt, to our mistakes than anything else.
Yeah, there was a letdown. There's a letdown when you have that huge, super, you know, emotional win, and it was emotional, and rightly so. And I don't think we celebrated it too long, because I thought we came out, our practice was maybe a little lethargic, but, you know, what do you expect when they've got bus legs and home late and yada, yada. But I thought they continued that momentum. And, you know, with our student body right next to us, I don't know if we were just too into maybe paying attention to that. I don't know. We just missed so many serves. We missed so many shots. But again, you want them to be able to practice that too, and do some things. We were a high air team in that second set. You know, sometimes it's just volleyball. And maybe Brookings did it to us. Like, they made some nice plays too. I mean, I told the team in one of the timeouts, they practice too. You know, they're trying to get better too. They're going to compete. They're athletic. And that we couldn't take that mental break that I thought we were taking. So it was a matter of trying to make a comeback on them. And I thought our kids did that pretty well.
You know, and defensively against Brookings, I know my stats showed 12, 13 kills, something like that for, you know, that's just an average. I think it was 13 kills, so just an average of over 4 kills a set. That means we were playing some pretty good defense.
Well, I do think so. It started out with our serving. You know, our serving is our first line of defense, and I think we're serving a little bit higher clip now than we were when we saw them earlier in the season. And it was Brookings our second or third match. Maybe third. And I think we're floating a little bit more. We've got a little bit more movement, and we just took them by surprise maybe on that and got them way out of system to begin with. And then our blocks, we got some touches in the block, and I think Brookings found out that we were going to be there. And so we talk a lot about how defense can change the way a team plays. And I really think early on our defense set the tone, and then coming at them with more speed. We're coming at teams a little bit more now with a little bit more, maybe a lot of bit more speed and pinpoint precision at times. We've got a long ways to go. I mean, and any offense has a long ways to go, but we're just a different ball team than what they saw earlier. Maybe we just took them by surprise. And again, defense can change the way other teams play, but then offense too can set a tone. And we always tell our team that because of the way we play, we're probably not going to get that first or second kill. We're going to have to start trying to get a little bit more real estate open and maybe in our third or fourth try. So, again, we're going to get them out of system. We get the ball back, and here we're going to go. We're going to go fast. We probably won't get the kill right off the bat. We're going to get the ball back because they're in chaos, and that's when we're going to try to kill the ball. And I think that's what you were seeing in parts of the Aberdeen. You were seeing that in parts of the Mitchell, and then certainly we saw that in parts. But, we high air in the second set, and that's just going to happen. We tell the kids, even if you look at Division I scores and, like, Nebraska's playing somebody that they should beat, sometimes they do drop a set, and it's just the game of volleyball.
Well, as we look ahead, I think everybody is happy to have basically a week off here, don't play again, and get to play at home again after having those five matches in a row before Thursday night, Harrisburg coming in next week. But I guess it's nice to have a little time off, enjoyed homecoming yesterday, have the weekend off, although in these COVID times we live in, sometimes I think you probably feel it'd be better if we were together a little more. But boy, you got to be happy right now that 8 matches are in. Hopefully there's 12 to go without any interruptions, but you just have to value the time you have together and every time you get to go out there on the floor and play somebody else.
Yeah, you know, senior night, it caught my breath a little bit. And you know, which was Thursday, senior night. And when I got home, I went, oh my goodness, 8 matches are down, which means we're almost halfway through the season, which is just crazy. I think, you know, there's so many variables right now that sometimes you forget to, you know, we talk to our kids about being in the moment, but there's more pressure now on the kids, on the team, on the administration, and the coaching staff. We have to think about all these other variables. And so I think Thursday night was the first night I just caught my breath and went, wow, we're almost halfway done. We've made it this far, and now the trick is to keep it another third of the season and try to make it through the final third of the season here. But yeah, you know, with the homecoming and all the activities and us losing maybe a little bit of control, you know, that's what's scary about giving a week off. But we're not really going to have a week off. But I'm sure if I'm catching my breath, I'm sure the kids are catching their breath too. You know, the homecoming parade, and you know, we're constantly harping, keep those masks on, please. And we don't, you know, we're just hoping that those masks work. And I think they are. I really think the masks are working. And I can honestly say, Jeff, I wasn't certain if this was, you know, what they say it is with the masks. But now when you look at the schools that aren't wearing masks and they're starting to have spikes, and we're staying in school, I think it is working. And maybe I'm getting on a soapbox that other people have been on for a long time. But back to the point of, you know, it's time for our kids to catch a breath. But hopefully they're not letting their guard down. Hopefully they're going to still continue to play defense. And not only do we want to play defense in the court, but we're playing defense against something that we can't see. And so, you know, we're going to get back to the weight room on Sunday and still harp on these masks. And it's going to be a long, you know, we keep telling the kids, more so than ever, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And we've got the first third of the marathon done, and we've got a long ways to go. And I can think back to when my husband was running marathons, and when did he start getting cramps? What was the 18th mile, the 20th mile? In fact, that's probably the only time in his life that I've really ever felt sorry for him, is when he was running those marathons and cramping up. And so that story I'll be constantly talking to the kids about. It's not the beginning of the race. It's the last portion here. And so, yeah, we're going to get back into the weight room. We're going to still try to play defense off the court and then see if we can get a little bit better as we head into the second third of the season here now and find spots. And you watch us just as anybody else, you know, with a keen eye, and you know there's a lot of areas that we can work on. And certainly we're going to go back to the office and try to get some things done and get to be a little bit better of a volleyball team.
Shelley Budnagin, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Tigers, after a tough stretch of schedule, are at 6-2 and actually have off till next Thursday when they host Harrisburg at the arena. Hey, we have more coming up. Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. And we're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Going to talk here on Tiger Cross Country with head coach Angie Thomas here on hosting the annual Clyde Cotton Invitational, their biggest cross-country meet of the year, at least of the regular season each year. 20 teams coming in. We'll talk about that field coming up because it does seem to change some. First off, though, Angie, just your initial shots, thoughts how this year has went for your squad.
Well, we've started out really well. I'm very happy to say that our boys' varsity squad won the Madison Invite, the very first meet out of the gates for us. The one thing about Madison, there's a lot of A schools there. Brookings was the other double A school with us, and they only needed four scores to count toward filling a team. And, yeah, we ended up beating Brookings just by a few points. So that was a great confidence boost for our boys' varsity team. And running on that team was Cheech Harmon, Will Radke, TJ Lean, Cameron Cutshaw, and Gonzalo Quispe.
You know, and I guess that's the first thing, is we'll just talk about the boys here for the time being, is that it's been a long time since, I shouldn't say a long time, but it's been quite a while since you have opened the season fielding a full team for the boys, and sounds like as long as everybody stays healthy, you'll be able to do that this year.
Yeah, we'll be able to keep that boys' varsity team. I did give TJ Lean the option to run this morning JV. He's only an eighth grader. He is my, right now he's running third for the Tigers, and he just said to me, no, coach, I'm running varsity. So I love the determination. I love the competitiveness, and these boys are just, they keep pushing each other, and that's really what is making them this better team. And Cheech Harmon really is the one that started all this out. He's only a sophomore. He's been running through the whole COVID experience. We didn't have a track season, but Coach Budenhagen is the distance coach during track season, and he was sending out workouts for all his kids, and Cheech ran that whole time. All summer he ran, and, you know, his season thus far is showing that. He PR'd in Aberdeen, ran an 18:15. His ultimate goal is a 17:30. And I truly believe he can reach that. So he's well on his way. And then some of the leaders coming back, we have Will Radke, who's a junior, and he's a competitor. Didn't get the miles in over the summer like I wished he would have gotten, but, you know, he works hard, he competes in practice, and he's a competitor, good leader to have on the team. And then we have Angel Olivo Porqueo. He's a sophomore this year. He's running fourth for us. He's been doing a nice job. Cameron Cutshaw is only a freshman, but he really likes those distance events, so he likes the 5Ks. And then Gonzalo Quispe is a junior. He put in a ton of miles over the summer as well, and just improving each meet.
Then staying on the boys' side, talk a little about the depth you have in there and just numbers overall.
Yeah, the boys' team is pretty strong, and I don't have any seniors on the boys' side. So, I mean, that's always nice, too, that I'll have another year with Will Radke and Gonzalo Quispe. And like I said, and then you have Cheech next year being a junior. Those boys just keep getting stronger and stronger, and that's very positive. I mean, that's something great to look forward to. And I also have, you know, Will Knipling as a freshman. He ran at state for me the last couple years. I'm hoping that throughout the season he'll get stronger and I'll be able to move him up to the varsity level. And Ben Ollers is also out. But one kid that I have, he's an eighth grader, Alec Pester. He's been working extremely hard in practice, and I know he's logged in some miles over the season. So after today's meet, starting in Brookings next week, I'm going to move him up to the JV level and see how he competes there, because he could be one of my top seven for state. So, yeah, it's really nice to have those options.
Well, let's move over to the girls now. You've been running two girls consistently on varsity, and I'm sure hopes to get the full varsity team together here by ESD.
Yeah, Tori Buffington has been running really well for us. Like, she's been placing most of the meets we've ran at. And then Brooklyn Botel also. Those two run together in practice, and we kind of had a talk the other day about, you know, you need to compete a little bit in practice. You know, we had a hard work speech. Again, Coach Budenhagen, I have him to thank for this. You know, he brought something up in one of our coaches' huddles we had. And, you know, there's a difference between working hard and competing. And we had that, you know, all our cross-country practices, 95% of them are hard. You're going to work hard, but are you actually competing? So, you know, I had that talk with the girls. Hopefully that helps them race then as well, because I think in practice there needs to be more of that competition going on, like I have on the boys' side. So those two girls, yes, definitely have been running well for me and the best on the team. But I have some younger girls that I'm hoping toward the end of the season, even by ESD, they'll be running varsity as well. And one of those is Josie Bleeker, who is a seventh grader. And she's been either winning or coming in runner-up at the JV level. So she is running really strong. Her dad, Kent Bleeker, is one of our volunteer coaches. And, she's a great little runner and a great competitor. And then Hannah Schoenfelder is an eighth grader. I pulled her up last year to run at state for us. And she started out this season at the JV level placing and running great times at the JV level. So I'm very hopeful for those two to be moving them up. And then Tatum Peterson has kind of been nursing a knee injury-ish. You know, it's been bothering her, a little swollen. So hopefully we can get her back in shape and get her running at that varsity level as well.
Well, let's move on to today's activity. That is the annual Clyde Cotton Invitational, the big meet that we always hold every year. We're figuring 20 teams. That number, or not so much the number, but some teams have dropped out. Some teams have picked up. And I guess as far as that goes, we're not going to list all the teams because it may change by the time this hits the air. But the bottom line is that's the world we live in today.
You know, I'm happy we're able to have a season. And we get to the meets and, you know, we look at the coaches and we're like, hey, coach, how's it going? And they're like, good, we're here. You know, and almost every single coach, that's always the comeback. Hey, we're here. We're happy to have a season. We're happy that our sport is outdoors and it makes it, you know, a little more tolerable, I guess you could say, as far as the whole COVID thing goes. But you're right. I mean, some of our Rapid City schools weren't coming because they could only plan one West River trip and one overnight trip because, you know, they can't stay due to COVID. And so, yeah, it's definitely been you know, a little frustrating for some of the schools, but one thing about it, schools still want to come here to run. So even though some had to back out, there was a waiting list, and for sure we're going to have 20 teams. So we're happy to be here, and it'll be a competitive field. There's no doubt about it.
Well, just thinking off the top of my head now, our course is usually a challenging one there at Broadland Creek, but haven't we made a few changes or something here over the past year or two?
Well, last year, Terry Roeder had to make it. Well, it ended up being less challenging, but only because of all the rain and the flooding that we had at Broadland Creek. So he actually cut off the main hill of our course. And some of the other coaches enjoyed it because it was more, you know, coach-friendly, getting to different places. However, there were a lot of coaches, too, and, you know, myself as well. We like the challenging course. We like the hill. And Terry Roeder was able to put the original course back on. So we will be running with the original course today. We're excited for that.
And then just talking about running a big meet like this, we've kind of touched on in the past, and you've had a couple other big meets you've been to, but for the most part, cross country is a low risk when it comes to COVID, but there's one exception, and that's the beginning of the race.
Yeah, that's been what I suppose that's been the hard part for people to plan, is when we're on the line. And what has happened in other meets, and I'm not sure, you know, how things are going to look today, but, well, one thing is we had to limit the runners. And I know a lot of the bigger schools were hoping that there maybe would be less schools there because they didn't want to limit the runners to 7. And right now that's what we had to do to try to keep them away from each other on the line. And during other meets, we were able to have an open box in between each school. This one, we'll just have to spread out the line as far as we can and, like I said, limit runners on the line. We're close to our own team, but we're not super close to other teams.
And just the competition will be great for our youthful squads. Well, I guess we're not completely youthful, but do have a senior there on the girls' side. But I know that this is what the state meet looks like.
You're exactly right. It is. There's a lot of kids on the line, and the times this year are great. I just looked at the times from the Heartland Preview, and on the boys' side, I mean, if one of our boys wants to place in the top 25, they're looking at needing to run a low 17. So, I mean, this field is very competitive, and I think that's great for our kids to see and to run against.
And just overall, we'll wrap it up here. You can almost call this kind of the middle point of the season. So far, so good, because really you just, you know, and I think all the sports, all the coaches are saying this, we just got to take it a week at a time, because you just don't know what next week's going to make, but we've made it about halfway through, so far, so good.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and I have to give a huge shout-out to my athletes. They are very respectful. I mean, they want the season to last. They wear their masks, you know, when they're close together. They wear their masks before we start our warm-up. When they're in team camp, they put the mask on. You know, so my athletes have been tremendous about wearing the masks and being safe, and that has a lot to do with it, too.
Angie Thomas, head cross-country coach for the Huron Tigers, the annual 59th annual Clyde Cotton Huron Invitational is today at Broadland Creek. Start time is 9 a.m., JV girls, then JV boys. Then it's varsity girls and varsity boys. Then they'll wrap up with the two middle school races, expecting 20 teams to be out of Broadland Creek today, so a lot of visitors in town as well. More coming up here, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Good morning. Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk here on Tiger Football with head coach Scott Spanton. The Tigers, a tough loss on homecoming night last night, 14-12. Canton, the difference, Canton hitting both of their point afters and Huron missing a kick and then missing the two-point conversion. But, coach, I guess you can say the the extra points, but the bottom line is we left what we feel were a lot of points out on the field. We had opportunities. We had a couple of turnovers. We had a penalty that called a touchdown back. All those just kind of snowballed last night.
Right. It obviously is very disappointing when you have an opportunity, much less being homecoming. You know, going into the game, we felt pretty good about how we've been playing, both, well, defensively especially, and we knew what they were going to do. They made no secret of that. The first half, they came out and tried to throw it a little bit more, which they've shown on the last two games. But, you know, overall, just disappointed in some of the things that, you know, were there that we didn't capitalize on. You know, coaches-wise, we got to do a little better job, too, as far as, you know, during the week, you know, we thought we had them pretty well prepared, but whatever reason, mentally wise, our focus at times lapsed, and that caused some big situations to where, you know, when you get down there and have opportunities to put in the end zone and you don't capitalize on them and you let people hang around, you know, then they grow in confidence, and next thing you know, you're in a war of attrition. And our biggest thing was we were our own worst enemies last night by not capitalizing on some opportunities that we had. And that's the tough part to swallow when you know you had those opportunities and we let them slide through our fingers. And, you know, like I said, it come down to the end. Again, the effort was great, but again, it's got to be more about the execution on the end of it when you get in close ball games like that. And that's what we told them, you know, we're going to have ball games like this. You know, there's more to come. So learn from it, grow from it. And let's move forward into the Sturgis game. But it was obviously very disappointing in how we came out and had some lack of execution on some plays that were there that we just didn't capitalize on.
Yeah, defensively, as you mentioned, was not a bad game. We still had them scoreless at halftime. We ended up going 10 quarters without allowing any points, but then they broke through on a short field in the third quarter and took the lead 7-6. But really, probably the backbreaker was their second touchdown drive. I had them holding the ball, I believe, over 7 minutes on that drive. They pretty much pounded it down the field, then threw it in the end zone for the score. And, you know, and again, they found something they liked, and they just kept doing it.
Yes, sir. You know, they made no bones about it the second half. The first half, they mixed it up a little bit more, throwing and running it. And then the second half, they just decided they were going to come out and do what they do best and use those big guys up front. And, you know, they controlled the ball, like you said. I looked up on the clock in the fourth quarter, and they had one drive. And there's 5 minutes and change left by the time that, you know, end up getting in the end zone. So they did a great job of controlling the football game from that end of it. I think we maybe had three possessions the whole second half. So when you have that and you have less opportunities, then you really have to make the opportunities that you have count, and we just didn't do that.
So, you know, he had some good efforts there. Our first National League player of the game was Derek Simmonsma. I think I had him for either 9 or 10 tackles. Can't remember off the top of my head. I know he had a quarterback sack in there, caught that big touchdown that brought us back within two late in the game as well. And, you know, that's a kid that's been starting for 3 years, and he wanted it on his senior homecoming night.
Yes, sir. I mean, Derek, you know, he played his heart out, you know, did a great job on defense, as you said. He's kind of the thing that makes it go on defense with his effort and setting the tempo on that end of it. So defensively, he played real well. It was nice to see on the touchdown reception to have opportunity for him, you know, to get that opportunity to make the best of it. Was nice to see on his part of it, and then also it gave us a big boost. And then again, we go into that 2-point conversion, and we have a little lapse there based upon we wanted to go on quick sound because we had a, you know, special play call that we've worked in practice, and then for whatever reason we didn't snap it on time, and next thing you know, we're having to create another one. And, you know, so it's just one of those deals where you had your opportunity, you know, we got to just live with it and move on and move forward and know that we could have played better, we should have played better, but for whatever reason we didn't step up and make the plays that we needed to when they were available, and that's what it came down to.
Well, now we go out to Sturgis. So, as you mentioned earlier, the long bus ride, and Sturgis did win over Douglas last night, 14-6. And if I saw it right, I believe Douglas's touchdown was a defensive touchdown, a scoop and score. So, Sturgis's defense obviously is playing well.
Right. I watched a little bit of their film versus Brookings, and you know they have some good-looking kids going to their place, spending 5 hours on a bus. You know, so we're going to see again how well we rebound and respond to this. And as we said last night, this is not a season maker or breaker. It's just another step in the process, so hopefully we learn from it, you know, improve on what we need to improve on going down the, you know, to Sturgis and play a good football team, and hopefully we can take care of our business and get this thing back on the right track moving forward. But that's one of those deals where, again, you know, we had setbacks, and now we're going to see our character as far as how well we respond to those things that we had, you know, that we need to fix, and our mentality going into this week, our approach for preparation. And if we do the things we need to, again, I think we'll rebound very well from it. But the kids have to understand that, again, you know, you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have bumps in the road. How will we react to that? That's going to be a big, you know, determining factor this week on that long road trip.
Well, now another thing, too, as everybody knows, Pier at T had to be canceled due to a little spike at Pier High School. And, you know, our so far so good with our kids. You know, every coach is just looking forward to the next game, which, from a cliche standpoint, you always do. But, you know, our kids, so far so good from that standpoint. And you're always nervous. We're almost 2 weeks out from the fair now.
Right. And this is something, again, that we're in a deal where nothing's guaranteed, nothing's given. You know, it could change in a heartbeat. So as you said, the kids, as of right now, as far as we know, have done the right things. You know, they've worn their masks when they need to wear them. And obviously when they're away from school, that's the biggest concern, because we can control their environment when we have them. But, you know, I think overall we've done a pretty good job of that in practice, you know, at games and, you know, when we're in sessions in school. Everybody's complying with what they need to, so, you know, we need to continue to do that in order for us to, again, have an opportunity each week. But we just, kind of like we say, we take it one game at a time. Well, we take it 1 week at a time when it comes to the COVID stuff.
And we'll wrap it up with this, getting back to the football field. You mentioned earlier you can't fault the kids' effort. It's the execution that's got to come up a few grades.
Yes, sir. That's what this game's about. It's about making the plays when they're presented, and the opportunities were there last night. We just didn't make enough plays. You'd like to be able to have all the answers, but in some situations, you know, like I said, whether it be us coaching them better, execution-wise, preparation-wise, you're always looking for reasons. But I think overall last night, we just didn't make the plays when they were there and available. And if we do, then it's really not even a contest if it came down to that. But, you know, like I said, at halftime, if we let them keep hanging around and, you know, they're going to get more and more confident the longer they hang around. That's exactly what happened in the second half. They came out and controlled the clock, controlled the chains, gave us very limited opportunities. When you have three opportunities in one half, you better capitalize on it, especially after they score and put you down by 8 points. So, like I said, hopefully we learn from that situation. I told them as well that during a timeout that this isn't the only game we're going to have like this year. We have high-quality opponents coming up. So how we respond to this and meet the challenge, you know, that sets the tempo for what we're going into the next few weeks and the caliber of teams that we're going to play. You're going to have these types of ball games. So use it as a learning experience and let's move forward. And, you know, once we watch the video today, it's swept under the rug, and then we're moving on to Spearfish come Monday.
Scott Spann, head coach here on Tiger Football, coming off a frustrating loss 14-12 to Canton last night at Tiger Stadium. Here on Hits the Road now next week, the long road trip West River next week as they visit Sturgis next Friday night. That'll wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday. On this Saturday, we have Mike Hendrickson, South Dakota Sports History, coming up shortly. Later on today, Minnesota Twins baseball at Chicago, 6:30 pregame tonight here on KOKK. Up next, Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.